I think I'll use that for my intro for today's sermon on defining moments. They happen, right? They happen. You don't always know when, but there are moments in your life where you're faced with big decisions. And you don't have a week to think about it or a month to think about it. They just happen. And it's at that moment you have to decide, are you going to do what's right? Are you going to believe what God's word says? Are you going to obey God or not? And so we looked at a number of different defining moments. The Bible is just filled with them. You know, we talked last week about Pilate and his defining moment. And you know, I was trying to let you understand that, you know, there are these moments where you, like, he was really pressed and he failed in his defining moment. What I found upsetting with Pilate was his whole thing about trying to escape the consequences and avoid the responsibility with the washing of his hands. Hey, I know I'm not responsible, but you know, God knows, and he was responsible. Well, this morning I want to talk about the ultimate defining moment, and that is called Judgment Day. Yeah, it's Judgment Day, and this is a defining moment everybody will face. All of us have to face this someday. There's a point in our lives where we will stand before God, and we will give an answer for our actions. And this is something that you know, a lot of people might want to avoid talking about. Sometimes, you know, if you talk about Judgment Day, there's this hesitancy to do this because, you know, there's been this negative picture of a preacher talking about Judgment Day, and he's like a hellfire and brimstone preacher. And, you know, no preacher wants to be known as a hellfire and brimstone preacher. You don't want to offend people. And for sure, I wouldn't want to traumatize, you know, our snowflake Christians. I mean, that would be dramatic. I don't know. You talk about stuff and it's like, people get upset, you know. They only want to hear the good stuff. But the fact is, we do need to talk about it. We do need to talk about Judgment Day. And now there's a lot of confusion about Judgment Day. You know, I've reading sermons on this and a lot of different scenarios. How is it going to play out? You know, what's the sequence of the judgments? How is it all going to play out? What different times and stuff? I'm really not going to deal with that this morning. All I'm going to deal with is this. There is a Judgment Day coming. And what is it going to look like? And that, are we ready for that day? Because here's the thing. These other defining moments we were talking about, those are moments where you get to decide at that moment, what should I do? On Judgment Day, this is a defining moment, but it's a little different. You don't get to decide on that day. It's already been decided in the here and now. The way we live our lives today will determine how that defining moment turns out, whether we spend eternity with God or without God. So there's a lot of different passages about Judgment Day. I want to read starting in Matthew 25 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, let's read this passage. It's one I think we're probably all familiar with, but I just want to talk about it and maybe point out a few things that could be helpful. So starting in Matthew 25, verse 1, this is Jesus talking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, You gave me no food. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we didn't minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, for as much as you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. This is it's a pretty scary passage of scriptures, and this is the teaching of Jesus. This is Jesus teaching the people, and this is toward the end of his ministry. And so maybe just, I want to answer a few questions, at least for myself, because like I said earlier, you know, preaching on Judgment Day or preaching about hellfire or damnation, there's always this hesitancy about preaching about it. But here's just a few thoughts why a preacher should preach about Judgment Day. First of all, hellfire, damnation, eternal judgment is prominent in the scriptures. Not only is it prominent in the scriptures, but if you collected all the passages of scripture in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and compiled them together, statements about judgment, hell, damnation, eternal destiny, all the scriptures, you will find that Jesus preached more about this topic than all the other passages in the Bible combined. It was pretty much his underlying theme, where you will spend eternity. So Jesus preached about it a lot. And then all the disciples and all their letters, they talk about this. It's in their sermons and in the book of Acts. There's over 100 references to this topic just in the New Testament alone. So it's prominent in the scriptures. And really, not to preach about it is an injustice. We're hesitant to, because there's just this whole idea about it's negative, but it's part of the scripture. So the first thing is it's prominent. And the second reason why I think we should preach about hellfire and brimstone is because fear of eternal damnation is a legitimate motivator. It's legitimate. Anybody here who has had 2 or 3 or 4 children, you know the difference with some of your children. Some of them you just have to look at and they stop doing the bad things. Some of them, you gotta beat, man. I mean, you gotta wave the stick. Fear is a legitimate motivator. Now, there are better motivators, but fear is a legitimate motivator. And the scriptures talk about this. So if fear will cause a person to change their way of living, that's legitimate. You can't excuse that. And for some people, that's necessary. And then I'd say a third reason why we really need to talk about the judgment of God, because it's part of who he is. If we only talk about the grace and the mercy and the love of God, we've got a one-dimensional God, and we're not really showing his true nature. And actually what happens is we build God in our image, the way we like him to be. And in fact, we have to read the scriptures and say, you know, he is a God of grace and mercy. He's abundant in grace and mercy and forgiveness. I love to talk about that topic. I live in grace and mercy. But there is a part of God which is a God of judgment, and a day of judgment and justice is coming. So we really do need to show the full, as much as we can, the full nature of God. And so here we have this story about Jesus talking about Judgment Day, and there's a number of truths in here. I mean, you could spend weeks talking about this little piece here about what's going to happen on Judgment Day. I'm just going to point out like 5 of them that just jump out at me when I read this. The first thing that jumps out at me here is Jesus says he's going to gather everybody. All the nations are coming together. And so at some point in history, everybody's going to be gathered together. Exactly when this is going to be is not real clear, but there's coming a day where everybody stands before God. This is not an appointment you can call in sick. It's not an appointment you can say you're busy. This is an appointment we have to keep. And it's an appointment that is destined for everybody. Everybody, rich or poor, everybody will have to stand before him and answer for this, and answer to God how we lived our lives. So the first thing I want to say is this is a judgment every human being will be a part of. Every human being. Nobody escapes this one. The second one is, Jesus is talking here, and he's talking about himself. You just wonder what it was like hearing him talk, because he's saying here, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. All the way through the Gospels, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. He's talking here about himself. He's saying, when I come back, I am going to be the judge. Jesus is going to judge us. That's the second point. We will have to answer to Jesus, no one else. We don't judge ourselves after we die. We don't judge ourselves by comparing ourselves. I'm better than him, or I was better than that person. It's not by comparison that we get in. We're not judged by our peers. We don't have a jury that judges us. Jesus will be the judge. I don't care what religion you're part of. Ultimately, you're going to answer to Jesus. He says he's the judge, and he's the supreme judge. You know, this thing about judges, especially in our court system, so you have court cases, and people make their appeals to the judge, and he issues a verdict. Well, with today's courts, people can appeal that judge's decision, and they can say, well, I think he made a mistake, I think he was biased, or I think he didn't hear the case right, so I'm appealing to a higher court, and it just keeps on going until it goes to the Supreme Court. Well, in this story, there's no appeal. There's no higher judge to appeal to. So he will be the judge, he will issue the verdict, and when he issues the verdict, it's permanent. There's no purgatory, there's no second chances, there's no, oops, I made a mistake. This is the judge, he issues the verdict. In this case, he's separating everybody between, everybody gets put in one of two categories. We don't get to decide, you're either in this category or this category, the goat and the sheep, that's it. So the second thing that jumps out at me is Jesus is going to be the ultimate judge. No one else, each one of us will answer to him. And his decision will be final. The other thing that jumps out at me is when he's issuing the judgment here, the people who are the goats are like upset with his judgment. They're trying to negotiate a deal here. Oh, we didn't know that was you. You know, we didn't know that was you who needed help. We didn't know that was you who was in prison. We didn't know that was you who was sick. We didn't know that was, it's not our fault. You know, same kind of thing as talked about last week, trying to avoid responsibility. This is called plea bargaining. You know, they're trying to work out a deal here. Listen, you know, we weren't that bad. If I'd have known it was you. But the third point that jumps out at me here is on that day of judgment, there's no plea bargaining. No plea bargaining. You cannot hire a lawyer to represent you. Again, in today's courts, people get away with stuff, man. They commit crimes, and then they hire a lawyer, and he kind of twists the picture a little bit. Well, it's really this way, and then the jury gets caught up, and the judge gets caught up. And in this case, no plea bargaining. The verdict is issued, and he's using the divine standard, God's standard here. So there's no plea bargaining. And then the fourth thing here, which I think upsets a lot of Christians, is we are judged and rewarded according to our deeds. Now, this confuses a lot of Christians. Well, what are you talking about? We're judged. Like he said, enter the joy of the Lord because you did these things. Well, if you read the Bible, you know that salvation is not earned. I mean, Paul, all the way through his writings, talks about by grace you are saved. And that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And he wrote a letter to Titus and he said, you are not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy we're saved. But yet here's Jesus saying, I'm judging on that final day, I'm judging each one of you based on your deeds. So we get confused. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you read through Scripture, you will see that our deeds are connected to our faith. You cannot separate that. You know, the whole letter in the New Testament written by James, the whole letter of James, or most of it, is talking about your faith is expressed by your works. He even said, if you have faith but no works, your faith is fake. It's fake news. it's distorted, which is what fake news is. It's distorted. I'm saved, but my life, my deeds, they don't match. James says they go together. See, our deeds clearly are the infallible proof that we have truly been converted, that we have true faith in God. Jesus is saying here, we're judged by our deeds. There's no way around this. You don't want to miss the fact that he is rewarding these people and letting them enter heaven based on their deeds. By our deeds, we don't deserve heaven, but by our deeds, we're demonstrating that we truly are saved. And so we need to understand that the day of judgment, we will be judged according to our deeds. Not just we say, I was saved. He's telling you here that this is an important part. They go together. They're not separable. It's again what James said. And then the fourth thing here that's implied, it's not real clear here, but when you read about other references to the day of judgment, in the book of Revelations, in chapter 20, it talks about this judgment, this day of judgment, and it says everybody's gathered before the throne of God, and then it says all these books are opened. And so what he's saying here is when he separates the people, what he's saying is, I know what you did, and I know what you didn't do. I kept the record. I have records. Jesus is keeping a record. There's a book being written about our lives and the deeds that we commit and the things that we do and the things that we don't do. Now, I know that's like something you go, oh man, that's not good. It isn't good. I mean, I have this picture of how this works out. Clearly here, he knows what we did and he knows what we didn't do. The book of Revelation says the books are open and your life is now opened up. However that's done. I get this picture in my mind like God assigns every one of us at least one guardian angel, probably about 10 or 20. For some of us, probably need more. But one of the guardian angels, his job is to record everything you do. Somehow, it's being recorded. Everything. Not just what we do, but it says also our thoughts and our attitudes. So it's all being recorded, kind of like a video. He's recording everything. This huge, hard drive memory. And then when we die, it gets sent up into heaven. Now, here's the good news. You can edit your life story while you're on this earth. Because this is what's talked about here. Notice when Jesus says to the sheep, well done, enter the joy of the Lord. There's no condemnation here for the sheep. He's not going, well, I'm going to let you in heaven, but you really screwed up a lot, but I'm going to let you in heaven anyway, and let's talk about all the times you screwed up. He doesn't do that. Here he's just going, I have a record of all your good deeds, enter heaven. So something's missing. What's missing in that recording there? Your bad deeds. See, on this earth, you can edit that book. The letter written by 1 John chapter 1, so good, almost worth memorizing. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse means expunge the records. Cleanse means to edit the video. Cleanse means delete the sinful behavior. So this giant video of my life, this giant book of all my actions is edited. And when God opens it, guess what he sees? A blameless life. Blameless. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, as your pastor, as an apostle, it is my life's goal to present you blameless before God. When you open your heart and you ask Jesus into your life and you say, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice on the cross, your death on the cross for my sins, your sins are wiped away. Your record is clean. And this story here, as scary as it sounds, for those of us who've opened our hearts to Christ and who have received Jesus Christ, this is what it'll be like. Just rewards. You're rewarded for your deeds. And here's just a side note. If there has to be a place where he has to humiliate us and bring up all your bad deeds before he lets you into heaven, what that would be saying is that Jesus' sacrifice was not enough for you to be cleansed, that you have to suffer personally for your own sins. Well, there's no amount of suffering you can do that will ever expunge your record. You cannot wipe your record clean. We were born in sin, and we would die in sin, except that Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. So just in summary here, I just want to tell you that there is a day of judgment coming. And as scary as that sounds, there are some facts that cannot be avoided. The first one is everybody will have to stand in that day of judgment. All the nations will be gathered. Everybody's going to be gathered. And the second thing is we will answer to one person and one person only, Jesus Christ. No one else. I don't have to answer to anyone else. I'm not going to compare myself. I answer to Jesus. The third thing is there's no plea bargaining. It's already decided. The verdict will be handed down, and that verdict is permanent. Fourth thing is we're rewarded according to our deeds. As confusing as that might sound, it doesn't mean you earn your way to heaven. It means your good deeds are the evidence of a true converted heart. This is why the good deeds, good works are critical. This is why, this is the passion of my heart. When I'm talking to people and when I'm trying to advance the kingdom of God, I'm first trying to help people connect with God. You can't get anything done until people open their hearts to God. But after that, people have got to find a place to serve. It's why our church mission statement, serve God, obey God, serve people. You don't want to go through life missing that. We'll be judged according to our deeds. And then the fourth thing is, there is a record being kept of everything we do on this earth. A book, a video, however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. But the good thing is, you can have it edited now. You can have it clean when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. I'm telling you, it says you get forgiven and cleansed. So that when this day comes, we will be the sheep. And just like he said, I don't think he's exaggerating. He's saying, I'm rewarding you for your good deeds. No mention made of their failures and mistakes. They're forgiven, they're washed, they're cleansed, and you stand before God blameless. Now that is good news. Is that good news? Oh man, that's good news. Come on. So in conclusion, here's the question you have to ask. Are you ready? Are you ready? That day's coming, and you're not given any notice. There's a day coming, and the question is, are you ready? And the next thing, are you living in such a way that you would be ready? And the only way I know that you can live to be ready for that day of judgment is to live in a way where you honor God. You accept the sacrifice of his son Jesus, and you live in such a way that your faith is exhibited by your good works. When you screw up, you ask God, please forgive me. Wash me clean, cleanse me, and accept that he does. That is true. You stand before God. The Bible also says you're the righteousness of Christ. He looks at you through Christ. His sacrifice is complete and sufficient. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the scriptures they give a full picture of you, God. We know they talk about your grace and your mercy. But they also talk about the fact that you are a God of judgment and that you will hold all of us accountable. God, that a day of justice is coming and that everybody will get their just due. No one can talk their way out of it. No one can plead innocent. God, there's a day coming. And I just thank you that because of what Jesus has done, you have prepared us. That we can be ready for that day. That we can make the decisions now in the way we live. And that that day, that defining moment, we could be part of the sheep that are welcomed into your presence, God. I thank you, Father. God, we thank you for what Jesus has done, that is our entrance into your kingdom. Bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll take our offering at this time. So just as we were worshiping, Fiona just came up and said that, you know, we're singing, "You're Never Going to Let Me Down," but that there's some of us here that it's just not ringing true. Maybe you're feeling like you've been asking, and where's the answer? But she really felt impressed to say that God wants you to know that He sees, He knows what's best. He's with you. Be patient. Hold on. He will never let you down. Never. Never. He's true. He's true to His word. He is His word. So Holy Spirit, I just pray you come right now. Just minister to each of us individually. You know, there's some of you here this morning, you came carrying burdens. You're facing, you know, challenging situation, and you're feeling the weight, maybe the weight of life, the weight of job, whatever. And I just sense this morning the Holy Spirit wants to just lift that off of you. I'm not promising you He's going to answer that prayer today. I just want you to know when you're with God, you don't have to carry the burden. And I just sense this morning the Holy Spirit wants to lift the burden off your shoulders. You can walk out of here lighter in your steps. So if I'm talking to you this morning, who am I talking? Just hold your hand up. I want to pray for you that the Holy Spirit would just lift off of you any of that burden right over here. Just hold your hand up. The Holy Spirit's going to lift it off of you this morning. And I just sense He's going to give you that presence of peace. You know, the recognition. God sees you. He sees your situation. He's not too busy. In the name of Jesus, each hand that is up right now, Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking, lift the burden off right now. Let them sense right now, Holy Spirit of God, the lifting right now, off of their shoulders. God, begin to fill them with a peace, that kind of peace that we don't even fully understand, but we sense it. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, right now, in the name of Jesus, just come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's breathe it in right now. Let's receive it, Holy Spirit. I'm placing this down at your feet, Jesus. You see it. You have an answer for me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit. And just as we're finishing up here, I just want to take one other minute here. And, you know, I'm talking this morning about the Day of Judgment. And I would just be remiss if I didn't take a few minutes and offer that opportunity for every one of you here this morning to make sure that you're ready for that Day of Judgment. I shared with you this morning as we started the service 45 years ago on this day, on a Sunday night, I got the revelation. I was a church-going boy. I believed in the presence of God. I was trying to live a good life, although I was a flat-out hypocrite. I wasn't there, but I got the revelation that night that I needed Jesus in my heart. I needed to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. And could we just take a minute here this morning? Could I just challenge you to open your heart up before God? Maybe you're here this morning for the first time. Maybe you've been coming for weeks. Maybe you've grown up in the church, but there comes a moment in your life where you need to have that defining moment where you say, I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord. I'm not going to try and earn my salvation. I know He's the one who died for my sins. So, Father, I just come right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just shine the light in everyone's heart. God, if there are people here this morning that need to rededicate their lives to you, maybe they strayed since childhood. God, if there's people here who are getting the revelation for the first time, they hear you're knocking at the door of their heart. You're asking for that open invitation. God, just like you knocked at the door of my heart 45 years ago today, I heard that knocking as clear as I've heard anything. And I'm so grateful that when we open the door, you'll come in. And I pray this morning, God, if you're knocking at the door of anyone's heart, they'd hear that knock and they'd open the door. Just come, Holy Spirit. if I'm talking to you this morning and you're sensing that defining moment you'd like to commit or recommit your life to Christ, would you just do me a favor? Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you this morning. All the way in the back, there's a hand up. Just hold your hand up. You want to be ready for this defining moment in your life? Today is the day you decide. Anybody else this morning? Hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. All the way in the back, there's that one hand. Yep. So, Father, we ask right now, God, just come. We're going to pray a simple prayer. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit of God to come in, Jesus, to be the Lord of your life. We'll all pray this together. So, Jesus, please come into my heart right now. I surrender to you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. It's as simple as that right now. Holy Spirit, just cleanse right now. In the name of Jesus, edit all the sins out. All that's there is their good deeds. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we're going to close with one song. And as we do at the end of all of our services, we invite you to come forward. If you want to just come forward and worship the Lord and just let him know you love him, or just express yourself, or maybe you just need to do a little business, some prayer. So we'll close out with our final song.
The words that Fiona and I shared were very similar, that somebody's going through something this morning and God sees you and he wants to get you through it. And like I said, in Isaiah 61, God wants to exchange your spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. And I want to throw my band in the control room a curveball. We're going to play the first song, You Are Good, because we want to celebrate God's goodness in the midst of what we're going through this morning. So let's praise God for his goodness. You are good, Lord.
Yes.